Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:32 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 10th, and we've had a pretty eventful day on Wall Street. What I thought I would start off with is the FANG Index. This comprises companies like Apple and Amazon, Google, but it also includes Netflix, Tesla. In fact, why don't we just look at the constituents instead of listing them off? Well, it also includes the Chinese major tech companies, primarily Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent. Actually, not Tencent, but it does include Twitter, and Twitter represents about 10% of the index, even though it's got a substantially smaller market cap than a significant number of the other shares. Well, the index is trading back below the trend mean. And this is the first time it's done that since the beginning of 2016. So this is a broad-based sell-off that's starting to emerge in the technology sector. And Netflix, in particular, was down in a dynamic manner in here today. It was down over 8%, the leading decliner on the NASDAQ. Well, now we can start to think about whether this is going to find support in the region of the trend mean. I've persistently regarded Netflix and Tesla as the canaries in the coal mine for the high yield sector, and high yield spreads have been very tight. But Netflix is a double B minus, and Tesla is a triple C rated credit. Well, this is, if we just simply look at the technicals, take the labels off the chart and look at it, well, we have a clear acceleration. The market doubled in the first half of this year. We had a very large pullback, the largest pullback we've seen since the share started trading, at least in nominal terms, although perhaps the one that we saw in 2011 was bigger in percentage terms. But when you think about leveraged traders, they're not so much worried about percentages, but rather in terms of points moved. And this was by far the largest points move that we've seen. So we had an acceleration, that's a type 1 trend ending. We had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, that's a type 2 trend ending. Now we're getting potentially a first step below the peak. Or that is the opposite of when we look at a base formation and see a first step above the base. Well, then generally that's a reliable continuation pattern. A first step below the peak is obviously also then potentially a continuation pattern, but more on the downside than the upside. And what would confirm that would be a sustained move below the trend mean, and we're going to find out probably tomorrow whether that is in fact going to occur. Tesla has been characteristically volatile over the last few sessions, but it was not the leading decliner in here today. Then when we look at, for example, companies like Twitter, well, the share has been subject to a great deal of volatility, but it is extending its move back below the trend mean, and that's a pretty large constituent of the FANG index. Facebook, having pulled back violently from its peak in the middle of the year, continues to pull back, and it's now testing the lows that we saw at the beginning of this year. Well, let's look at, for example, Amazon, which has been the subject, or has certainly been listed as among the companies that has been most influenced by the hardware hacking allegations that are being leveled at China. Well, Amazon makes most of its money from its web services division, so that represents a clear and present danger to the valuation of the share, particularly when it is testing the 2000 level. Well, as I mentioned in broadcasts over the last few days, Amazon has a history of pausing at round numbers. So it paused at 1000 and it paused at 1500. Well, now we're seeing a pause at 2000. The primary consistency characteristic of the share has been that it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. Well, let's look at some of the other indices. The NASDAQ is a clear example here. It is now right in the region of the trend mean, and that represents a failed upside break that we saw last week, and now it is testing the highs that we saw back in March. And indeed in January, and it's testing the region of the trend mean. Well, if this is going to be still a consistent environment, then it is going to bounce and it should bounce pretty emphatically over the next few days. In the absence of that, well, then we're going to be talking about a much less consistent environment, and when we see major indices sustaining moves below their respective trend means, well, then that is a cause for worry. Well, the Russell 2000 has been the best performing index in terms of leadership. And I want to classify leadership as a temporal designation rather than a relative strength designation. It's been a clear leader in that it pulled back, it found support in the region of the trend mean first. It put in the first higher reaction low, it broke out first after the peak that we saw in January. And now it is leading on the downside. It has sustained a move below the trend mean. Well, if we go back and look at the trend over the course of the last 2 years and 10 months, every time it has pulled back below the trend mean, it has bounced in an emphatic manner. So if it's going to continue to trend higher in a consistent manner, then this is where we need to see some support starting to come back in, and in a dynamic fashion. The Dow Jones at one point today was down approximately 600 points. Then, in the last half hour of trading, it gave up another 200 points. If we look at the intraday chart, that it trended lower all day, and then it declined even further in the last 20 minutes of trading. The VIX index, which has over the course of the last 6 months failed to sustain intraday rallies, finished on the high of the day. So this is now a return to a risk-off environment in no uncertain terms. And the VIX would have to pull back in as violent a manner as we saw, for example, in these little spikes that we saw in 2016 tomorrow, to defray potential that this isn't moving into another more serious risk-off environment. So certainly this has capped the short-term advance, and we are now rapidly approaching the region of the trend mean for a significant number of these indices. The S&P 500 was also down in a dynamic manner in here today, and it is approximating the region of the trend mean. The banking sector, which had been holding up reasonably well, has also pulled back below its trend mean, but it is still holding the range that's been forming over most of this year. Well, if Wall Street is pulling back towards the region of the trend mean, then Europe is looking increasingly likely that it is going to break downwards. And the DAX index is now testing the lower side of this trading range that's been forming for the last 2 years. Anyone who's ever read any form of technical analysis manual will realize that this looks like a head and shoulders pattern, and therefore, if it doesn't rally soon, well, the chances are it's going to break lower, and it could potentially do so in a dynamic manner. So, Germany has been the best performing of the European stock markets over the last few years. What's potentially more important is that the MDAX has broken lower, and the Mittelstand have been the best performers by a clear margin over the course of the last decade. So this turn to underperformance by the MDAX in Germany is a significant development, and I think it rather heightens the potential that we are now moving into a much more risky environment in terms of European shares. Europe has been underperforming by a significant margin for the last while, and it may well be that Italy's determination to break the fiscal compact rules is at least in part to blame. The 10-year yield is currently around 3.5%. Well, with some risk coming off of the equity market, we are starting to see some support coming in for the bond market, and the 10-year treasury price was a little bit steadier in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic manner, for the simple reason that there is an awful lot of additional debt that's coming to the market in the next while. So I think it is the most likely scenario is that we're going to get at least an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition on the yield, but the big question is whether it can sustain a move back below the trend mean. A move below the trend mean would really be required to question potential that we're not still in a medium-term supply-dominated environment. Well, when we look at the just take a step back and look at what's going on in global markets, well, I continue to think that it is China represents the epicenter of risk. Alibaba was down in a very dynamic manner in here today, and it has it continued to extend its break downwards from this overhead trading range. Tencent is accelerating on the downside, and it was down an additional $7 in here today, Hong Kong dollars. And Baidu is breaking downwards from its overhead range. So that's what foreign investors are doing with their investments in Chinese shares. The A-share index today was in fact in mildly positive territory. But the question now remains, what is the administration going to do in China? They are beginning to look at widening the definition of a systemically important financial institution. And that raises two points. The first is that they're going to support the primary banks, so the very large state-owned enterprises such as ICBC and Construction Bank, and those kinds of very large banks are systemically important. There's no way they're going to be allowed to go bust. If they widen the definition of what a too big to fail bank is, well, what happens to those banks that do not fall within that definition? Are those banks then going to be allowed to go bust? That's going to be a very big topic. China's debt to GDP ratio has swelled to 260% over the course of the last decade from about 160%. Well, not all of that is sovereign debt. There's a lot of that is private sector debt. But the sharp reality is that there's been that China has taken out debt in the region of approximately 100% of its GDP in the last decade, and that represents something of a headwind in an environment where interest rates globally are starting to rise. Well, when we think about what we can anticipate tomorrow is that we're going to see some additional weakness coming through. Then Australia, which was steadier in here today, is likely to be to pulling back on the downside. When we look at, for example, the World Equity Index futures markets, then the Nikkei right now is trading at approximately 3% on the downside, and the Hang Seng down about 1.3%. So we're definitely getting profit taking starting to come through here. There is some liquidation of long positions going on. The Dow Jones, or excuse me, the dollar index has also pulled back a little in here. So there is some moving coming out of the dollar right now. Well, when we look at what is going on in Europe, there is increasing potential that we're getting to a point where the Europeans and the British are going to agree to some form of transition, or that they're coming to terms with the big questions about the Irish border and what their relationship is going to be like after the Brexit eventually goes through. Well, the pound is steadying from this 130 area. It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs since the beginning, well, since about March of this year, and it's right in the region of the trend mean. Well, if the pound can rally somewhat more from where it is right now, it will certainly be pushing back above the trend mean against the dollar, but it has rallied meaningfully against the euro. And every time the market starts to think that there is going to be a deal, the pound rallies against the euro. It's bounced now emphatically from this 110 area on three occasions over the last 2 years, and that does represent at least a medium-term area where support is likely to continue to be reasserted. With I think downward pressure coming on speculative positions, oil prices were down $2.50 in here today. Now, I think if We now, I think, have some evidence that the rally so far has not been quite as large as what we've seen in previous breakouts this year. If it fails at the $80 level, well, that would represent a significant trend in consistency. So this is, I think, an important juncture here for the oil price. It's within a couple of dollars of a meaningful area of potential support. Well, while gold was a little bit, well, excuse me, while the dollar was a little bit softer, gold was a little bit steadier in here, and it is now firming again from the lows we put in at the beginning of this month, but certainly not pushing up and out of this range just yet. Silver prices were in negative territory in here. They continue to hold the low over the last few days, but certainly it needs to do better than that to really demonstrate we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But platinum prices have continued to hold their recent rally and are still trading in the upper side of this 1 month range. If we can see a sustained move up and through that $850 area, well, that would be categorical evidence that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond this pause and consolidation that's been going on over the last 3 months. Well, when we look at exactly what it is that's going on right now, there are certainly people that are worried about the fact that bond prices have broken out. This hacking scandal is raising big questions about the technology sector and the security of hardware, and that represents an uncertainty. Then you have the fact that Italian yields have been breaking higher, that they are likely to submit their budget to Parliament over the next few days. Within the next few weeks, there is going to be S&P and Moody's are going to be releasing their view on what the rating for Italian debt should be. It's a triple B right now. It's really quite significant potential that it could be downgraded to junk. And if that's the case, well, then we're going to see a significant run up in the yield. And that is going to ask big questions about Italy's budget and its administration. Well, when we look at the performance of the Italian stock market, it was in negative territory again today. It has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean over the course of the last 3 weeks, and now it's breaking lower. This is all happening within the context of a 10-year range between approximately 12,000 and 25,000, so 100% amplitude from low from the bottom to the from the trough to the peak, and it is now trending downwards. The French market is being weighed upon by the luxury goods sector, and it dropped back below the trend mean in here today. What we're seeing is some evidence that the Chinese administration are taking seriously the commitment to more inspections on the border, and that's putting particular pressure on people that go on large shopping trips to places like London, Paris, and New York, and come home with loaded suitcases with the aim of selling on the products when they get home to China. And that represents a significant source of demand for the luxury goods sector. Well, LVMH broke below the trend mean in a dynamic manner in here today. This looks like a massive reaction against the prevailing uptrend. It's certainly going to be something that people are going to be paying attention to, and it is holding out the potential, not least because of the high commonality that we're seeing within the sector, that this very impressive advance that's been going on over the course of the last 2 years is over. And when we think about the acceleration that Hermès put in at the beginning of this year, this now looks like at least a medium-term correction, and that's on the assumption that it finds support pretty quickly. Well, what this I think is starting to hold out is the prospect of is some additional consolidation within the stock market. Now, the big question that's really outstanding is, when is China going to turn to some state sponsorship for its stock markets? When is the dollar going to give up more of its advance? It was just a little softer in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. And when is Europe going to adopt fiscal stimulus? And we may need to see some additional weakness in European stocks and something of a crisis in the bond markets before the powers that be are encouraged to adopt more of a fiscal stimulus rather than quantitative easing, because the ECB's quantitative easing program is over, and the quantitative tightening that is going on in the USA right now is at least part of the reason why we're starting to see some money coming off the table. But we're still at a point where if when you've got so many of the major indices at rather key areas of potential support that they could rally from here. When we think about what's going on in other markets, well, the Nikkei is currently engaged in a process of mean reversion, and it's likely to be down at least a few hundred points in here tomorrow, and likely unwinding rather sharply this overextension relative to the trend mean. The Brazilian market, which has been on the front foot since Bolsonaro, is looking more likely to win the presidential election, was down over 2,000 points in here today and confirming resistance in the region of the upper side of this range since the beginning of the year. And the Nifty index was in mildly positive territory in here today. Generally speaking, India tends not to experience the same kind of selling pressure as other markets because the index is so much more reflective of what's going on domestically rather than internationally. So there is the potential that India may turn to a position of outperformance relative to other markets when we do get some contagion selling that's likely to come through. Well, certainly, when we think about what's going on in terms of the emerging markets, the deterioration that we're seeing in Tencent continues to weigh on this index. That's regardless of the fact that that what goes on in China is largely a Chinese issue. Well, that and that there are a significant number of emerging markets are likely to benefit from any kind of offshoring from China as a result of trade wars or indeed of the more acute oversight that the political establishment are putting on just about everything. And China's deteriorating standards of governance represent a significant issue for the emerging markets generally, because so much investing today is happening on an ETF basis. But the other point, of course, is that when we look at the market cap of the major indices, and unfortunately the S&P doesn't tell us what that is any longer, but the reality is that these indices have tended to do so well because of the clear outperformance of their largest constituents. And when we see that the largest constituents are among the leading decliners, well, then we also have to look at the consistency of their individual charts. And for example, Apple is quite overextended relative to the trend mean. It is not at all beyond the bounds of possibility that it could come back to $195 and still be trending higher. And that's a similar situation for Amazon. But also, when we look at what's going on with Google, Google's trend is no longer consistent. I think that is one of the biggest conclusions that we can start to draw here, that this was one of the most consistent trends within the technology sector, and it is no longer consistent. Well, that tells us that the imbalance between supply and demand that was motivating the impressive advance from approximately $150 to $1,200 over the course of the last decade has changed. Now, it is dipping back into the underlying trading range, and that trading range itself was larger than anything we'd seen previously. So that represents a challenge here, that we're in a much more inconsistent environment for Google, and that is a more challenging environment, that it is now pulling back and is at excuse me, at $1,092, it would have triggered a midpoint danger line. And that suggests that we could potentially be in top formation development for a share like Google. And that's for one of the least volatile and most consistent charts that we've seen within the context of this bull market. Then, when we look at the semiconductors index, this represents a significant drawdown below the trend mean. Now, it's bounced from the $1,200 area on three separate occasions in the last 12 months. So it is likely that it is going to come back and test this level, but it really does need to bounce there and push back above the trend mean if this isn't going to represent a type 2 top formation completion. So there is certainly the potential gear for additional downside, but also potential for rotation. When we look at, for example, the consumer staples sector, it has been outperforming over the course of the last few months. Now it's right in the region of the trend mean. Well, the big question I think people will be asking whether we see an additional rally in bonds, and if we do see an additional rally in bonds, then that is, excuse me, then that will represent a curtailment in the rally in yields, and that should represent a tailwind for more defensive sectors. So utilities were in negative territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. And I think the evidence that we're seeing of rotation remains very much intact. Now, if we think about what's going on in terms of the commodity markets, well, copper prices were down approximately 6 cents in here today and coming back down towards the lower side of this range. So not as a big a downward dynamic as we saw in some of the stock markets. Nickel prices were having been positive over the last couple of days, were also in negative territory, but again not in a particularly dynamic manner. So we're not seeing a great deal of selling pressure coming through in the commodity complex outside of oil prices. Whereas when we look at some of the soft commodities, well, we've had some impressive rallies over the last couple of weeks in coffee and in sugar, but coffee now is testing the region of its trend mean, and this is a natural area where we can anticipate some consolidation starting to come through. So I think when we go back and start, or excuse me, finish where we started, the VIX is right on the high of its of the day. If we see additional upside tomorrow, well, then that is going to represent a challenge for indices testing their respective trend means. I think some of the most acute risk is in Europe right now, where you are seeing breakdowns on a substantial number of markets. But Wall Street isn't out of the woods either, and this is definitely a more risky environment. If we've been risk on since really the beginning of February, there is an increasing likelihood that we are moving now into a more of a risk-off environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.